We know hunting for good coffee can be frustrating and time-consuming. And with all the confusing labels out there, it's hard to know that what you are buying is actually mindfully sourced and truly making a difference in people's lives. That's why we put together our Perpetual Joy coffee subscription. Over the last 15 years, Joe Bean Coffee has built friendships with award-winning coffee farmers, ones we trust to consistently bring us amazing coffee year after year. Coffee tastes best at the peak of harvest, which is why we run our program like a CSA, regularly sending you a rotating selection of in-season coffee. You pick how many bags and how often you need it. We do the rest. And you can feel good knowing you're directly supporting small-scale coffee farmers. Go to JoeBeanRoasters.com for details.
I'm Matt Knotts.
And I'm Chris Lindstrom. And we are the co-founders of the Lunch at Orr Podcast Network, your home for amazing and wide-ranging podcasts in Rochester.
With shows like Anomaly Presents, Behind the Glass, the Level Up Coffee Podcast, Punches and Popcorn, Just Can't Not, and of course, Food About Town, we celebrate the people, places, and things that make Rochester a fantastic place to live.
We have more shows joining the network soon and offer remote and in-person recordings and video too. We're excited to bring distinct and diverse voices together on one network.
Follow Lunch at Orr on social media to catch new episodes as soon as they release, and stay tuned for exciting news about new shows and how to support them. Lunch at Orr, celebrating Rochester's creativity through the magic of podcasting.
Day-o, 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 dum dum, and when I come home.
I don't know what that's from. I'm hoping you'll tell me, but I do remember that Wheeze would, every once in a while, Wheeze would start with that. We'd come back from commercial or something, and he would just be like, hey-o, day-o. I never knew what it came from. But anyway, hi, how are you? Happy long weekend. I certainly hope that you have the 3-day weekend ahead of you. I do myself, but it is a bit of a busy weekend for us. My sister-in-law, this is Ryan's, she has three younger siblings. This is her closest in age younger sister. So this is the one that does not live in Rochester anymore. Ryan, her mom, dad, brother, and youngest sister all live in Rochester, but this is her oldest little sister, if that makes sense. She lives in St. Louis, Missouri these days, and just got engaged a couple of months ago in Italy, actually. And so this weekend has been the celebration, the engagement party. Last night we did wine and cheese at grandma's house, and today, actually, we are doing an actual engagement party at my mother-in-law's house. And Ryan and I were in charge of two things. Well, I was in charge of the food, and we were together in charge of the cake. So food-wise, I just left it up to the engaged couple. I said, what do you guys want? She said pulled chicken, and he said ribs. So ribs are up my alley. I've made ribs a million times. I think I make a killer rib. I did change a little. If you listen to my podcast around 4th of July, I talked about this. I kind of changed my method on ribs to make it a lot easier, guaranteed fall off the bone. It was advice I got from my boy Chef Steiny. It's just basically I rub the ribs, rest them for a little while. I actually go to the grill first, which is the biggest pivot. It used to be that I would go to the oven, you know, kind of wrap it for a long time, long, low, and slow, and then finish on the grill. But every once in a while, that wouldn't work out well. Maybe the ribs would fall apart or something, because especially if you cooked them perfectly, they were already fall apart. Then you're handling them, putting them on a grill, flipping them. Like, you're always risking some damage to the rib. And of course, I want them presentable. So what I did, or what I've been doing now, I've done this twice, this will be my third time today, is I will rub, I will rest, then I will immediately go to the grill. So it's the raw ribs on the grill. I'll do my 5 minutes, really both sides, but really what's important is that front side, right? 5 minutes, get myself my char right then and there, because you will char in those 5 minutes, even though the ribs are still raw, you'll get your char. And then I go into a baking dish submerged in liquid. And I've been doing like a deep, dark, smoky barbecue sauce, half barbecue sauce, half beer. So it's really submerged in a viscous liquid, right? It's a barbecue-flavored viscous liquid. What you get then you go into the oven, you do about 2 hours maybe or so at 350. You're looking for those ribs to finish right around 200 degrees internal temperature, and they will fall apart. And because they've been submerged in the liquid, you're basically making it foolproof that they'll fall apart. So when it comes time to plate them, you take them up out of the liquid, sort of re-sauce them. If you're going to do any garnish, that's the time as well. And then you present them, and you know, with the char and the fall off the bone, you're getting that same result that you were getting. Of course, you know, anybody listening is going to go, "Oh, Paul, you're wrong. Smoking's the only way to go." No, I know smoking's the best. I don't have a smoker, and I've never smoked, so I don't know. I don't know smoking. I know this method, and this method gets you a delicious rib that falls off the bone. So that's what I'm going to do. And then the other thing they requested, this is almost disappointing, but I appreciate the challenge, is they want pulled chicken, right? We all know pulled pork. Pulled pork is easy, delicious, right? Even pulled beef, easy, delicious. Pulled chicken's tough because there's like a, you know, you're really relying on the fat from the pork and the beef to help the flavor on something that you're going to long, slow cook like that. But chicken just doesn't have a lot of fat. So I was actually thinking about, and this is, I'm just kind of making this up on the spot, but I was thinking maybe I'll submerge it in some chicken fat. You know, you can buy chicken fat. Maybe I'll take some chicken fat or even some chicken broth or something and kind of submerge again, right? And just get a nice tender chicken. I think the key on a pulled chicken is also going to be not to overcook it. I mean, that's always the key on the chicken, right? Don't overcook. I think you talk about what makes you a slightly above average home cook is slightly below average home cooks tend to always overcook their chicken. I'm never going to be anything better than slightly above average. I'm never going to be good or great simply because I don't believe I have the skill set to be good or great, but I think I can be slightly above just with little things like properly seasoning things and not overcooking chicken. So I think the key on the pulled chicken is going to be getting it out of there right at temperature, right? And it's, you know, everyone knows 165 is the temperature for chicken. If you're at 160 or 155, don't, this is not the official USDA recommendation. This is the Pauly recommendation. But 160, even 155 is fine if it's been at that temperature for a little while. And it's not even that long, a couple minutes. In fact, you can Google it. And I do just happen to be sitting on my computer. Hold on. I will tell you what it is. USDA safe cook temp chicken. And then let's do 155 and see how long you have to be at 155 to be it safe. Because I think it's not that long. It's shorter than you would think. Okay, so yeah, 165 is what's recommended, and that is the instant. It is instantly safe to eat if you get to 165. If you're at 155 for only, check this out, 47 seconds. That's it. 155 for 47 seconds. You've achieved the same thing as being at 165 for 1 second. So, you know, again, I think the key is just don't overcook there, right? Just to be safe, I'm serving other people. I will probably go to the 165, but I'll be real careful not to go any higher than that. And then again, like I said, submerge liquid, plenty of sauce, seasoning, et cetera, et cetera. I think I can pull off a pulled chicken. Really, pulled chicken's more about the texture, right? And I don't have anything fancy to do it with. I'll just pull it with a fork, but should be fine. So yeah, so that's it. You know, I like talking about food. Oh, the cake. Forgot to mention the cake we were responsible for. So we bought a cake from Get Caked, which I cannot wait to see today. We asked for a multi-layer Italian chocolate and peanut butter cake. That's what we asked for. So it should have, I can't wait. I'll tell you this. Depending on when you listen to this, I know this comes out 8 o'clock in the morning, Sunday, August 31st. Later today, when I go to this party and I get to see this cake for the first time, I will take a picture, put it on my Instagram and my Facebook. So maybe just, again, depending on when you're listening to this, that picture might not be up yet. But if it's beyond the August 31st at like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, the picture should be up. But I can't wait to see this thing. I'm very excited. Speaking of excited, my son, first day of school Tuesday, very excited. I know. I'm pretty proud because last year, kindergarten, he was nervous, very scared. He was, sorry, hold on a second. I'm getting walkie-talkie. Let's see what's going on in real time at Craft Cannery. Yes, go ahead.
Do you have that picture from Foxes in your email? He tried to send it again. I don't see anything. I don't want to bug him.
Yeah, I'll forward it to you. All right, there you go. A little real-time work right there. Happening here at Craft Cannery, right? Okay, anyway, I think it's great that school starts Tuesday and that Leo is truly excited about it because last year it was so, so anxiety. There was so much anxiety, which of course was causing anxiety in Ryan and I. And then, of course, Ryan and I are, you know, not wanting to show that anxiety, but we were feeling it. And I also am wondering if maybe selfishly Ryan and I will have less emotion Tuesday. I think it's still going to be emotional. First day of school will be emotional forever. But I think, you know, there's a few that are big, right? Like first day of kindergarten is just monumental. First day of high school, I bet's a big deal. Probably first day of middle school, I'm sure, is a big deal. High school, of course. First day of college, when you're dropping them off at the dorm, that's probably right there with kindergarten, I would think. Like I bet those are the top two. I bet it's first day of kindergarten and first day of college. But I'm wondering if first grade, you know, I'm not feeling that like I'm going to break down crying on Tuesday when he gets on that bus like I felt last year. So maybe we're growing up a little bit around here. Who knows? We'll see. But yeah, he's excited, and I'm excited that he's excited. And Labor Day is a fun week for me. It's really always been a special week to me. Years ago, before my grandpa passed away, this was the week that I would always take off. You can get a whole week off for 4 vacation days back in the day, right? When I worked for a corporation, it was easy. 4 vacation days equals a full week off, so it made a lot of sense. And when I worked in radio too, the fall book didn't start until proper fall, which is not until September 21st or 2nd or something like that. So this week is still considered summer. Next couple weeks are still technically summer. And so I was allowed to. So I would spend 4 vacation days every year. I would go to Ohio. Again, this is before kids. This is before having a business. And I would can tomatoes with my grandfather. We would go on Tuesday and pick all these tomatoes. Then Wednesday, Thursday, we'd can all these tomatoes. And that's where I learned, man. That's where I got my chops, canning tomatoes with grandpa. You know, it was really a special time. And it was always this week, always Labor Day week. And every single year, my grandfather, because tomatoes really start ripening. Like, I don't know if you have them in your backyard or not, but like my tomatoes in my backyard, I think I picked my first ones about 3 weeks ago, you know, as early as like early August, even mid-August, you're starting to see them. By this time, August 31st, like, you know, they're really, really starting to come through. My grandfather would always be nervous that they wouldn't have tomatoes left at the tomato farm because we would go to one of those U-Pick farms. So every year he would always say, like, I don't know if they'll have any left, Paul. I don't know. You want to wait till Labor Day because he wants to go like, you know, early August when they're barely ripening. But they always had plenty. We never had any problems. So what else I want to tell you real quick? I want to tell you a work thing. We are getting ready to go organic here at Craft Cannery. We'll be certified organic. With any luck, that'll happen around mid-January. But the first step actually just happened this past week. We ran 4 prototype batches of organic sauces. It's non-sellable sauce. So it's sauce that we can't sell. We had to make it. We had to get our formulas. The thing about, and formula, by the way, in this world just means recipe, but the thing about the organic certification is you have to submit the specific formula and the, all of the suppliers, the farms and everything you plan on using ahead of time. You can't just be like, oh yeah, we might make pasta sauce. We don't know the recipe yet, but can you certify us organic? That's not how it works. In order to get certified organic, you have to say, here's the exact recipe we plan on using. Here are the exact suppliers and the ingredients we're buying from those suppliers. Here are their organic certifications. You know, there's a whole audit that goes into it. So the ball really got rolling this week. We did our prototype batches. I started the application. I have to finish the application probably actually later this week then. And that'll get submitted. And then it's about a 3-month lead time to actually have the audit. So, you know, figuring in some holidays in there with Thanksgiving, Christmas, everyone's busy. I'm kind of banking on January. We're really not planning on running organic until April of 2026 here. But that's the plan. That's the plan. And so it's exciting. It's something new. It's, you know, it's growth. It's slightly outside of our core competency, but I think we've talked about that before here. I think when you're in manufacturing, you learn to stay within your core competency, but to occasionally look at things that can expand your core competency just a little bit, something that's right on the fringes. And this would be something right on the fringes. And so, yeah, I'm excited about it. I think it's great. And the last thing I want to talk about, although it might make you hate me, is how lucky I am, is that a couple of weeks ago, I did a class at New York Kitchen. Oh my God, I'm so glad I'm bringing this up because I have an announcement too, but I completely forgot about this. But okay, so I show up to New York Kitchen. It's a class. And you might be saying, but Paulie, I thought you don't do classes anymore. That's true. I did 10 years of class. For the first couple of years, I did it twice a month. And then for the last 8 years or so, I did it once a month with a slight like 3 or 4 month break during COVID, when COVID was really bad, I think from April to maybe July or August of 2020. Other than that, it was monthly for 10 years, almost exactly to the day, 10 years, I kept going. And now I do about one a year, and I do it as a donation. New York Kitchen has their garden party, which I attended a couple of weeks ago. Wonderful, wonderful event. Just a really good time. Alyssa Belasco, who was a guest here recently, just she's really got that place on fire. She's just killing it out there. But anyway, New York Kitchen asked me, this is last year's garden party, 2024, would I donate a dinner? And I did, a class. And so that class finally just happened a few weeks ago. And I go to the class, and it's great. And I really love it, you know, which leads to my announcement. You know, I forget how much I enjoy doing those classes. I get there, I'm having a good time. I'm talking to to Alyssa, and I'm talking to the education instructors, and the Feast of the Seven Fishes class comes up. And I go, you know, Alyssa, when you were on, I said, you know, there's 24 seats in a class. I said, if we can sell 12 of them, will you let me do this class? And we'll put it up on your website, we'll promote it on social media, and hopefully we can sell the other 12 tickets. Because and full disclosure, I put this in the original podcast where we talked about this. This will be an expensive ticket. This is going to be over $100 a person. You're talking about Feast of the Seven Fishes. This is going to be a big meal. This is going to be a nice meal, seafood. Like, this is going to be over $100 a head for a class to learn how to do the Feast of the Seven Fishes. I told Alyssa, I go, look, I'm really sorry, but I sold about 8 tickets. I didn't sell 12, like we said. And she goes, let's do it anyway. And I go, yes. I go, yes, let's do it anyway. So we're doing it anyway. So let me see really quick. Hold on a second. Let me give you some breaking news. And this is very much breaking news because this is not even on their website yet. But we are doing it. Hold on a second. Where is it? Okay, hold on. Laura, that's what I'm looking for. Okay, so the class is very likely to be, if you want to put this on your calendar, Friday night, December 5th. Friday, December 5th. And again, don't try to go sign up right now. The class is not listed yet on their website. Probably won't be until maybe late September, even early October. So, but yeah, Friday, December 5th is likely going to be the date. We'll do Feast of the Seven Fishes. Only 24 tickets available. If you are one of the 4 people who texted me, I kept your information. I will get back to you and I will let you know when those are for sale so you can be guaranteed to buy tickets. And remember, they come in pairs. So it's if you're buying tickets, you're buying two. So anyway, this isn't even why I brought this story up. That was just, I forgot I wanted to announce that. And I'm premature even announcing that. But again, I wanted to tell the story because I'm doing the class, and in the class is Jenny Clark and her husband. And I have just been somebody who has been a giant Jenny Clark fan for a long time. If you don't know who Jenny Clark is, she was a higher up at Constellation Brands for a long time. She was like, I don't know what her official job title was like towards the end, but she was like the consigliere, right? It was like the Sands and then Jenny Clark at Constellation, which is, you know, multi-billion dollar corporation. You're talking about a big, big, big deal here. And she spoke at Rotary years ago. I mean, probably 7-8 years ago, and told her story. And part of her story was that she had been working as a travel agent. And I'm going to butcher her story a little bit here, so it's not exactly right. But part of her story was that she had been a travel agent, that Constellation started using her to book their travel, that she was making the observation that they were a little bit all over the place with the way they were booking their travel. You know, there was just all the different executives were just kind of booking on their own, and there was not really a system in place. And because there was no system in place, they weren't collecting the rewards they could be collecting by using certain credit cards, or always staying in the same, you know, with the same hotel chain, obviously, is going to rack you up a ton of points and get you perks and eventually money back to the company, and also just saving on travel. And so she basically presented to the Sands family, to Constellation at the time, hey, this is how you guys are booking your travel. I'm seeing that you could greatly reduce your travel costs by doing this. And they loved her. They just fell in love with her. And they were like, hey, do you want to just come work here? You know? And then, of course, she goes over there, and she's such a dynamic person that she quickly rises through the ranks and becomes a very, very top person there at Constellation. And so I've just, ever since I heard that story, I just went, that's a person who I just am in awe of, you know? People have asked me for years, well, you're on the radio, did you meet a lot of celebrities? What you consider a celebrity and what I consider a celebrity are two different things. All right, we agree on Paul McCartney. We agree on Bruce Springsteen. Of course, yes, those are celebrities. Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie, yes, these are celebrities. But to me, successful people are celebrities. People who have just done amazing things in their field of work, to me, are celebrities. I love those stories. I love them so much. Hence the existence of this podcast, right? That's the whole crux of this podcast. So I just love Jenny. I've always loved her. And knew her husband just a little bit. Now I've met him a couple of times, so I know him a little more, but knew him just a little bit. I would always see him at CMAX standing up in the rafters, you know, like up in the boxes. Anyway, speaking of CMAX, so we go through this class, and there's other people in this class too, which is really cool. It was the couple of Arby's franchisees were in the class as well. And after the class, they hand me like a bunch of coupons to Arby's. And so I went, and I've already went through the Arby's drive-thru once. I always forget how good Arby's is until I actually try Arby's, you know, and then I'll go like 2 months without eating it. And then I just crave a roast beef sandwich. I go and I'm like, why don't I come here more often? But the story I'm trying to tell you is, so the class ends, I get these Arby's certificates, whatever. Jenny, during the class, is kind of asking me, what do you and your wife do for fun? You know, she knows we have a baby. She says, oh, you know, and I'm telling her, well, we haven't had a lot of dates recently. And she says, oh, well, we've got a few good CMAX shows coming up. Again, this is a few weeks ago. She says, you should come to a show or something. Do any of them catch your eye? And I go, oh, yeah, you know, I go, Sublime, you know, I've always loved Sublime. I see the Sublime's coming. Yeah, maybe, yeah, it's on a Friday night as well. Like, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, thanks, Jenny. I'll look into it. Maybe I'll buy Sublime tickets. And in my head, I'm going like, yeah, maybe I will, maybe I won't. I'll see if Ryan's interested. So class ends. I leave. I'm driving down Main Street, Canandaigua, and my phone rings, and it's Jenny Clark. And I'm like, holy shit, Jenny Clark is calling me. And she says, where'd you go? I go, well, I left. She says, can you come back? And I go, oh, what did I forget? Of course, you've already figured out what's about to happen. I'm too dumb to figure it out in the moment. I just assume I forgot something. I turn around. I'm only 2 minutes away, right? So I turn around for 2 minutes. I'm going, what could I have possibly forgotten? Yeah, I can't figure it out. She says, meet me in front. I meet her up front. She comes over, gives me a big hug, hands me a white envelope, and says, have fun, and leaves. And, you know, and goes back in. And I'm going, what the hell is in this? Like, I'm so eager to open. It's like Christmas morning. I'm like, what could possibly be in here? Also, I wanted to open it right away because I wanted to make sure it wasn't cash. Because what happens is sometimes people will try to tip me. And I believe it or not, I don't want to be tipped when it's for charity. When it's for charity and somebody tries to tip me, I always just say, hey, you know, give it to the charity, right? Give it back to the cause, whatever, whoever we're here for today. Let's just donate whatever you were about to tip me. Just donate it back to this cause, whatever. So I open it up, make sure it's not cash. It's not. Instead, what it is two tickets to Sublime. Good seats too. Front, one of those front sections, not front row, but like, you know, halfway up the section, but one of the very first sections. So like amazing seats. A VIP parking pass, which if you've ever heard me talk about parking and bathrooms, I am a sucker for good parking and private bathrooms. I mean a sucker. I am like, take my money if I can park next to the venue. And take my money if I can have access to a bathroom with no line. You know, that's me all day. Then there's these two tickets that say second stage. And I go, oh my goodness, what is this? So I start Googling it. You know, I pull over on the side of the road. I'm Googling second stage, CMAC. Nothing comes up. I assume it's some sort of VIP area. I'm like, well, it's probably the... But it turns out CMAC has a couple of VIP areas. I think it's the Headliner Lounge, which you can buy tickets to. And, you know, comes with like light snacks, maybe one drink ticket, whatever. They've got the Corona Cabana, which is in all the way at the back of the lawn, which I've bought tickets for that before as well. And to be honest with you, if you're going to buy lawn tickets, Corona Cabana is a great call because it's basically a bar right on the lawn. And they have like Adirondack chairs and stuff. And you're all the way in the back, so it's not a good seat, but it's a really convenient situation, really convenient setup. But there's nothing about second stage. So I'm all anxious. So I text a couple people I know at CMAC, my girl Jordan, also one of my son's friends, Ed, and I'm like, hey, I am so sorry to bother you, but Ginny gave me these tickets to say second stage on them. I'm booming with excitement. I cannot wait to get home and tell my wife we're going to the show and that we've got these great seats, and I just want to know what is this? So they get back to me. They both get back to me, and they say second stage is a VIP area reserved for friends and family of the band, the sponsors, the employees. And it includes a full buffet, a private bar, some sort of drink tickets. I'm not sure if it's open bar all night or if it's like just for an hour or even just if it's just one or two tickets. I'm not sure, but, you know, some amount of open bar. And cha-ching, private restrooms. And I just go, wow. You know, I used to go to New York Kitchen and do those classes, not as a donation. You know, I would get paid a little bit of money. Ah, fuck, I'll just tell you what I used to get paid. So I used to get paid $150 to do a two-hour class. You know, and it's all the way Canandaigua. So by the time I go and come back, you're talking about almost a four-hour commitment for $150, which is not bad. It's not bad. It's okay. But, you know. It's not money you can't walk away from, but it's good money. It's fine. No complaints at all. That was always fine. But because this was a donation, there was no pay. You know, I will not be paid when I'm donating something. So I was telling my wife when I got back, I go, I think between the Sublime tickets, the second stage of the VIP parking, and the Arby's certificates, I go, I think this is the most I've ever been paid to do a cooking class. This is pretty good. This is pretty good. It's a nice little situation. So, all right. Well, listen, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I do have my next podcast actually in the can already. I have Sam Solomon of Spotted Duck. He is here next Sunday. And then two Sundays from now, I haven't actually recorded it yet. And I know she's busy, so I'm hoping it doesn't fall through. But it is technically on the calendar to record this week. But Kelly from Get Caked. I didn't want to do the Kelly interview until after the cake today at the engagement party, because I wanted to be able to talk about the cake, because I know it's going to be extra special. So we kind of put that one off to record this week. So hopefully it's still on. I know she had some family coming to town. So, but as of this moment, it's still scheduled to record this week and then air on the, let's see, what is, today's the 31st, so what's next Sunday? Next Sunday's the 7th. That'll be Sam, Spotted Duck. And then the following Sunday, the 14th, should be Kelly, hopefully. But again, always subject to change. So anyway, enjoy the extra day off. I hope you have an extra day off this weekend. Happy Labor Day week. Happy back to school, everybody. We will talk next Sunday. Have a great day.
This has been a presentation of the Lunchador Podcast Network.